So we're up to Kuf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, six lines from the top. Gemara says, "Amar Rav Kana Mishum Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yosi." My idea is, what does the pasuk mean that says "Lam Nabseach Mizmor LeDavid"? What's that language, that phrase? So Zamru, Lam Nabseach Mizmor LeDavid Zamru. So it says the Gemara, it says Zamru LeMisha Notzchem Oso. We're singing to he who defeats him, V'Sameach, and very happy about it. What does it mean? So it refers to that we're praising Kadosh Baruch Hu, that Kadosh Baruch Hu himself is happy for the people who conquer him, if you will, who defeat Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, the Gemara says, "Ba v'ra shalok midas Kadosh Baruch Hu midas bas v'dam." Go see, there's a difference between the man and God. Bas v'dam minatz chenoso, if you defeat man, v'otzav, he's very sad. About Kadosh Baruch Hu knows chenoso, v'samech, you defeat him, Kadosh Baruch Hu is very, very happy. Shenemar v'yomer lashmidam. So he says to them, this is Kadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe having a whole dialogue that, Tehillim referring to it, that Vayomi Lashmidam Lule Moshe Bechiro Amar Beperish Lefanov. So he said, had Moshe not, my chosen one, had not stood up and protected a Klai Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu would have wiped out an entire Klai Yisrael. So he was very excited about that. So you see, look at Rashbam, the last narrow line, Lule Moshe Bechiro Alma Karile Bechiro Mishum Omer Beperish Lefanov. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu as Bechiro, his chosen one, and the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu stood up, the parish stood up in a time when Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to wipe out Klai Yisrael, and Kadosh Baruch Hu was happy that Moshe Rabbeinu defeated him in this debate, if you will. So Kadosh Baruch Hu was very happy when people defeat him. Similar Gemara to this as well, that there's a Gemara Brachos, I think, that says usually a person who gives away a present or he sells something, he's very upset, he loses something. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives away the Torah and he's very happy that it, exactly. So you see that Kadosh Baruch Hu is obviously very different than Basar Adam, but a similar type of discussion. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Kana, Mishum Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yosi, Amar Rish Shlakish, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Nisya." My dechse, what's a pasuk mean that says, "Vide Adam Vitachas Kanfeya"? Is the pasuk in Yechezkel that the hands of man is underneath their like wings or corners. So yado in the singular ksiv ze yado, it's written as yado with a vav there. So yado shakash baruch hu shaprusa tachas kanfeach achayos. Kadosh Baruch Hu's hand is spread underneath the wings of the corners of these chayos. Kedei lekabel bali tshuva miad midas hadin. In order to catch, in order to accept the tshuva, Bali tshuva, from Midas Hadin. So, let's see. Rashbam says, Mipnei Midas Hadin, the first white line down, Neshe Mikatreges Ve'omeres Lo Sekablam, and they're the chayos, I guess the malachim, some malachim up there, saying, don't accept them, don't accept the tshuva. V'hu Mekablam B'seis, like quietly, like underneath, behind them, Kadosh Baruch Hu who's busy catching and saving, accepting the Bali tshuva. That's what the pasuk is a reference to. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kol Kesev V'Zahav Sheba'olam, all the entire gold and silver in the world, Yosef Loktu, Yosef gathered, Behavil Mitzrayim, he brought to Mitzrayim. All the money in the world was there. Shinemar, the Pasuk says in Bereishis, in Parshas Vayechi, Shinemar Vayilakit Yameim in Vayigash, Vayilakit Yosef is Kol Kesef, he gathered all the money, Hanimta. Ainly other Sheberetz Mitzrayim, Sheberetz Canaan, I only know he gathered the land, the money of Mitzrayim, the money that was found in Eretz Canaan. Bishar Arts Minayin, how I know he collected all the money in the world, all the lands. Tamalomar v'chol haaretz bo Mitzrayim. The entire world came to Mitzrayim. Uch she'olu Yisrael Mitzrayim. So fine. So that's how we see from the pasuk that he gathered all the money in the world. Uch she'olu Yisrael Mitzrayim. When Klai Yisrael left Mitzrayim, ha'aliyu imam, they brought this gold and silver along with them, the rechush gadol. Shenemar v'inatzles Mitzrayim. So we v'inatzles Mitzrayim. So Rav Asi Amar Asak Mitsudazu Shembo Dagon. They made like into a trap that didn't have any bait. Rabbi Shimon, however, says, Amar Kimitsula Shembo Dagon. It was like a trap that had no fish caught in it. How is this a proof for that idea? How do they prove this?
This is just the drasha and the lashon of Vayinatzla.
It's not, it hasn't proven the point yet. Is that what we're saying?
No, Vayinatzla. It is because they emptied them out.
They emptied it out. Now we're saying, whereas, no, I think we're trying to say though. So the way it's being explained here, who's he using here to explain this? This is. I'm not sure if he's using this, but basically as follows, that they trapped all the money. All the money was there, and it was like a trap without Dagon, without any bait, that no one else could come and collect all the money that was in this trap. That's how they're explaining this.
The hunters, ליתן דגן במצודה כדי למשוך לתוכו את העופות, to put in a cage דגן. כאשר אין דגן במצודה, אין שום עוף נפנה אליה, וממילא היא נשארת ריקה לגמרי. כך רוקנו בני ישראל את מצרים מקום המונם. Meaning that nobody would have, they took away so much money, all the money, that it's like an empty cage, meaning that nobody wants to go there anymore because there's nothing to do to be done in Mitzrayim.
Uh-huh. So that's what it's referring to. That Mitzrayim was empty. It was like a Mitsuda,
right.
Shembo dog. It used
right.
to be a trap, but no longer a trap because
right.
there's no bait.
There's no bait. That's what it says.
And then Reish Lakish, who says it's a Kmetula Shembo dog, and it's a trap without any fish. So this is the, talking about the depths of the water.
Mitsula
means
like the depths.
Not trap here. It means Mitsula, Mitsuda, right? Mitsula, the depths. So that there are no fish there. That means where it's really deep down and no fish are found when it's so low in the ocean. So that's what it was like here, that nothing was left in Mitzrayim. It was completely
void.
But there's no food there for them, so
right.
there's no reason for them to be there.
Right.
Okay, so same idea, but just different way of darshan it, that Mitzrayim is completely void of any. I think it still remains that way. It says the Gemara now, V'haya munach.
Yeah. Here it says that they're not really. It says, "Haben Yehoyada mevar sheravasi v'rishlakish einam cholkim ela kol echad mehem emedaber al b'china acheret shel reikon." Ravasi medaber al reikon Mitzrayim meushra hagashmi ulefichachu medame zel mitzvah shel belodagan. שכשם שתמיד נותרים גרגירי חיטה. Okay, let's just explain. I guess it's they're just saying it in different terms, but they're saying the same thing.
Okay, that's Ben Yehuda that says that? Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. Then the Gemara says, V'haya munach, so all this money and gold that was Klai Yisrael took back to Eretz Yisrael with him, V'haya munach ad Rechavim, it was there left till Rechavim came, Ba Shishak Melech Mitzrayim, Benatlu Merachavim, he took it all back. One of the next king of Rechavim took it back from Rechavim. Shenamar by he b'shana chamishish l'melech Rechavim, the 50th year of Rechavim's rulings. Allah shishak melech Mitzrayim, al Yishalayim v'kachas otzos beis Hashem v'otzos beis Melech. He took everything away. Then ba zarach melech Kush v'natlu mishishak ba asa v'natlu mizarach melech Kush v'shigula hadrimon tended to hadrimon ben tavrimon. And then Bo Bnei Amon v'Natlum Hajimon ben Tavrimon. So all the money and the gold and silver was being taken back and forth from different kings. And then Bo Yoshafat v'Natlum Bnei Amon v'Yamunach Ad Achaz. Then it was there left remaining till Achaz came. Then Bo Sancheriv v'Natlum Achaz. Bo Chizkiah v'Natlum Sancheriv v'Yamunach Ad Tzidkiah. Bo Kasdim v'Natlum Ad Tzidkiah. Bo Prasim v'Natlum Ad Kasdim. Bo Yivanim v'Natlum Ad Prasim. So this is the back and forth of all the gold and silver. Now it apparently remains still in Rome. I imagine there's a lot to talk about here.
When was this Rechavim and Shlomo? When was this Rechavim and Shlomo?
What year? I couldn't tell you what year. Wish I could. But this was the whole the back and forth between the gold and the silver. I can't imagine it really that refers to all the gold and the silver. I don't think it really remains in Rome right now. I'm sure there's a lot of depth in the.
Well, the Italian economy is not doing too well. So.
Right, that's why I'm wondering. Again, listen, the Gemara wasn't updated.
It's actually in the Vatican.
In the Vatican.
They have no problems.
So Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina Shlosh Matmonios Hit Min Yosef B'Mitzrayim. There were three places I think Yosef buried and hid some of the money. Achas Nizgal LeKorach. One of them was revealed to Korach. Achas nizgal l'antininos ben asvirus, and he got, revealed one of them.
It was Kesar Romi.
Sorry?
Kesar Romi. According to this, Antoninus ben asvirus was Kesar Romi.
Oh, Kesar Romi, I see, okay, Kesar Romi, okay, fine.
Who was a friend of Rav Yehuda Hanasi.
Okay. And then the third one, Achas gnuzo l'tzadikim l'asalav, the third one's left over for the tzadikim to have. Osher shamor levalav l'ra'aso. This is a pasuk in Kohelas that the riches were protected for the balav. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish zu asha shel Korach. That references the riches that Korach had. That's kol yekuma shebirag lehem. This is a pasuk in Korach, I think, right? No, it's not Korach. It's a reference about what happened in Korach. Pasuk in Devarim. It looks like more like Eka, maybe. So all the yekum, all the things underneath their legs. Amar Blazar zeh mamono shel adam shemamido al raglav. This is the money the person is mamid on his leg. What do you mean mamid al raglav? What does that phrase tell us?
It
lifts a person up, gives him joy. So Amar Rabbi Levi Masui Shlosh Maos Predos Levanos Hayu. So he had enough of 300 different mules to carry all this gold and silver. White murals, okay. Hayu maftechos beis gnazal shel Korach. Well, is it for the keys were that way?
Masoi shel shlosh meot pradot levanot hayu maftechot b'neiga. Tziur itzeh. Harashbam kotev shehamispar shlosh meot eino b'neiga.
Lav dafka, right?
Eila konen hamispar rak. Amar shem osiv shemnam hamispar zinem alegan.
Okay, so this is saying, yeah, there were 300. The keys that you needed to go into these storage houses of these safes were amounted to the weight of 300 mules to carry just the keys alone, let alone everything that was inside. So again, hamaftechos shabes gnazov shakarach v'chulu aklidi uklipi de gilda, and each of them were what? What taklidi uklipi de gilda mean?
Kul aklidi uklipi de gilda.
Nothing.
All the maftechos.
Kulo aklidi uklipi v'chol maftechot v'hamin olim de gilda hayu shayachim la merzufim. Sakim gdolim shenosim chamorim v'gmalim ha'asuim me'or shebahem hitmin korach et otrotav.
You're saying they're somehow made of leather, which I guess are lighter than metal, let's say, at this point, and still it mounted, okay, and it's still mounted to such a heavy weight. Maybe that's the point of that saying. That's the point.
That he hid all these keys in these sacks of leather that the Gmalim used to take,
I think. Okay, either way, there seem to be a lot of keys which allowed entry to these storage houses. And the keys themselves weighed a lot because there's so many of them. So you can only imagine how much wealth Korach had access to. Okay, so the Gemara says now, quotes in the parentheses, the simon and the monarch, diash odish kistach meudach meodcha simon. Amr b'shmil b'nachmani, Amr b'yonos on odecha kianisi, anisani, Amr David, evin ma'asu, habonim, ha'isa l'rosh pina, Amr Yishai, meis Hashem ma'isa zos, Amr achiv, his brothers, zayom asa Hashem, Amr Shmuel, on Hashem oshiyana, Amr achiv, on Hashem atzlichana, Amr David, baruch ba b'shem Hashem, Amr Yishai, berchunuchem meis Hashem, Amr Shmuel, El Hashem Vayalanu, Amr Kulam, Isuchag Bavosim, Amr Shmuel, Eli Atavodeka, Amr David, El Kayomeka, Amr Kulam. So, all these psukim we say towards the end of Hallel was a dialogue between David, Yishai, his brothers, and Shmuel, and back and forth.
Tough Gemara.
Okay. Not awesome. The Mishnah says there, the Mishnah where this is in Brachos, I believe, right? Mishnah says,
what's the shadow of this? Why are they bringing all this?
And it should have really been before when we spoke about Hallel.
Right.
I'm assuming we got interrupted because they quoted somebody who said something. We quoted a number of other series of discussions in that same person's name, and we went back to who wrote Hallel, or who said Hallel.
All right. So this is when Shmuel went to Yishai's house to pick
that up. That's what I was assuming. That's what it sounds like, right?
Yeah.
Tanan, Hassan, the Mishnah says in Sukkah, Malkum Shinagu Lichbo. So Yichbo, when it says to double the Sukkim in Hallel, you're supposed to double. Lifshot Yisho, if it says just to say it once, so then you say it once. Livarch achrav yivarch. If it was to say brach afterwards, so say bracha. Hakol, kamina, kamedina, whatever the minag, whatever your place was to do, do it that way. So, where's that line I wanted here? So in terms of what that, it's not here. Rashi in Sukkah says, what are you going to be doubling? Rashbam says, you're lichvol tzahalal. Different psukim you're going to be repeating over and over again. Rashbam says, when it comes to these places, you repeat the entire pasuk. Like we say a pasuk, and we repeat it yet a second time.
Right.
The Rambam says, no, you repeat word after word. Really? That's what Rambam says, yeah.
I guess it's all called the Femina Medina.
That could be right. That was the minik he had there.
That was maybe right. That's right. The way the Rambam used to do it.
Right. Could
he be said true. Each word.
Each word. Each word, yeah. Lechbod, I think it says Teva.
Like, Odcha, Odcha, Ki, Ani, Tani, Ani, Tani, Vatihi, Vatihi, Lili.
Yeah, yes.
Yeshua, Yeshua. Sounds strange.
Yeah. And the Gemara Brachos says that we're not supposed to say things twice.
Right, but if that was the way it was done... So then maybe, so why, there are a few reasons why to do this way, I think I saw somewhere. Yes, the Rashbam says, the reason why, let's go to...
What's the whole shot of doing Kefil?
Right, so that's what we're going to do right now. The Rashbam, Miodchal, let's read a little bit more than Gemara, and then we'll come back so we read the Rashbam out of order. Wait, where is that Rashbam going on? I can just read the Rashbam inside, it's fine. Rashbam says, Miodchal Lamata, the third line down in the Rashbam, V'li nira mishum kavod. Yishai v'shmuel v'david v'achiv shamru me'old cholamata k'damrin le'el koflinoso. Because they're the ones who said this whole dialogue, because of kavod to them. That's why, I'm not sure why kavod to them and not to all the psukim that were said before him, but there's a certain amount of kavod here. So by doubling the psukim, that is somehow an Indian of kavod there. The Ravan in Sukkah says, because to let it be known that these were not said Ayde David alone, this was based on this whole dialogue between the two, so something's different, just to highlight that difference. And Lavush writes, Kedei Liafos Akriya, to make it a very nice davening, somehow that makes it better. So within your question, maybe, the point was that only time repeating is when that wasn't the minhag to do things. You're doing it, you're just repeating, psukim, repeating Shema and Modim over and over again. Here, this was apparently the derech. There was a positive way. Something was accomplished by repeating the words. Okay, so the Gemara says now, two lines down, still Amar Abaye. Lo shanu el alachar. The only discussion was whether to say bracha afterwards. That depended on the minhag. Avalafanov saying the bracha prior to halal, mitzvah levarich, and it's mitzvah to say it before halal. The damar of Yehuda, Marshmuel, kol ha mitzvos, mivarich alein over lasiasm. We already saw this in Daf Zayin, that every bracha you're supposed to say it prior to performing the mitzvah. My mashma the high over lishna da kudumi. Why does he say over lasiasm? Over lasiasm, over means like the past. Doesn't mean beforehand. Where do you see that means akdume, to say before? So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak dichsiv vayaretz achimat derech hakikar vayavor sakushi. So that pasuk, the word vayavor means before the kushi. Abai Amar brings another pasuk mehalcha vahu avar lifnem. He passed in front of them beforehand. So avar means beforehand. And third pasuk is igadamri mehalcha vayavor malkam lifnem vashem barosham. So we see there three different pasukim that lashon over means beforehand. So Yisham argue with a number of explanations why you have to say a bracha prior to performing a mitzvah. So some say the Ravan in Sukkah says, just like I cannot eat food until I say bracha, I can't get hana without a bracha, I need to allow me to get hana, so too I can't say bracha, I can't get hana from a mitzvah until saying a bracha. What's the hana of a mitzvah? I'm not getting hana. No, the hana is the schar mitzvah, I'm getting schar mitzvah. So for me to want to get the schar mitzvah, I have to say a bracha beforehand.
But who used the term overly asiatam for the first time?
And according to the Gemara, it sounds like Shmuel was the one.
And Shmuel never explained what he meant.
Shmuel himself never explained. So that's according to the Ravan. The Hana of a mitzvah is the Schar mitzvah. Ramban says, no, the Hana of a mitzvah is the Simcha. The Simcha you get performing the mitzvah, that's Hana as well. You get a lot of enjoyment performing a mitzvah, that's why you have to say Bracha beforehand. And the Ritva says, we mentioned this, I remember, Daf Zayin, is supposed to be Makadesh the mitzvah, that you're about to do by using a bracha, you're infusing with Kedusha, and now making it a more sanctified act by doing that. And he also says it gets you in the right, proper mindset. It's like kind of, Lehinim Menuchan, I'm prepared to do the mitzvah now, that's what the bracha before the mitzvah is supposed to do. Get the proper kavana. Okay. Says the Gemara now, Tanya Rebbe Kof Rebbe Kofel Badvarim, Rebbe Elazar Ben Prata Mosiv Badvarim. Rebbe would double words, Rebbe Elazar would add words. My most, what would he add? Amar Bai Mosif Lichvol Me'od Cholamata. He would add repetition. Rebbe would repeat only a few psukim, and Rebbe Elazar would add even more that he'd repeat. He wouldn't add words into it, he'd just add the koflim into the...
So we hold like Abai.
Rabbi Elazar ben Prat, from the end, basically, do everything twice. Now, it is interesting, I guess, with back to the Rambam, we say Ana Hashem twice. Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Hoshiana. That's actually not a full pasuk. I think the pasuk is Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. That's the pasuk. We, however, break the pasuk in half and do double it. So that is at least, I guess, somewhat similar to what the Rambam says.
Right.
Okay, the Gemara says, Darish Rav Avira, Zimnan Amar Le Mishrei D'Rav, Zimnan Amar Le Mishrei D'Rav Asi, or Ashi. So Rav Avira would make the following drasha, but different times he would quote different people. My dichsev, what does the pasuk mean? Vayigdal hayelad vayigmal. Right, this week's parsha, right?
Probably.
Yeah. So the yelad, in other words, Yitzchak, he got bigger and they weaned him and they made a big party. What does this mean? Asa dekadosh baruch hu lasa suda l'sadikim b'yom sheyigamal chazdo l'zarot she Yitzchak. In the future, kadosh baruch hu is going to make a very nice meal for the tzadikim, and the very day. That Kadosh Baruch Hu did the chesed to the children of Yitzhak, which refers to the gula that he's ultimately going to bring, and they're going to make a big feast. So, la'acha she'ochlan, after they finish eating, v'shosin and drinking, nosin lo la'avram avinu kosher bracha. Okay, the varach Avram, you're the oldest one here, why don't you say the bracha? Amr lohen, eini mevarach, I'm not worthy of making a bracha in this crowd. She'yasmi meni Yishmol, I had a fathered Yishmol, it wasn't very good. So Amr Lola passes on to Yitzchak. Yitzchak, the second eldest here. Tol Levarach, you take it and say the bracha. Amr Lola, and he says back, Einim Levarach, I can't say the bracha. Shiyotz Mimeni, Esav was one of my sons. Amr Lola Yaakov, they passed on to Yaakov. Tol Levarach, Amr Lola, Einim Levarach, Shenasasi Sheach Yos, Bechayein, Sheasi the Torah Lohosun Alai. I can't say it, says Yaakov, I married two sisters, and the Torah in the future was going to assert, so I'm not worthy of saying the bracha. Amr Lola Moshe, Tol Levarach, Moshe, you take it. Amr Lola, Ein mevarach shelo zachisi likanis la'eretz Yisrael lo b'chayv lo b'motzi. I wasn't zocha to enter Eretz Yisrael, whether in my lifetime or even after my death. I wasn't zocha. I'm therefore not worthy. Om lo Yeshua tol varach. Maybe you should say Yeshua. Om lehen ein mevarach shelo zachisi leben. I didn't have a child. Nichsev Yeshua ben Nun. Nun beno Yeshua beno. So Nun was a son and Yeshua was a son. He didn't have any other children. Om lo David tol varach. You take it, David. Om lehen ein mevarach. You're right. I should say the bracha. Because he says in the pasuk until him, let me lift the kos and praise and call out to Hashem. So therefore, David was one who said kos shabracha. A number of fascinating things come from this Gemara. Firstly, the nature of the Suda here. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva that this Suda is going to take place in Olam Haba. Olam Haba, there are no guf.
There's no food.
There's no eating. There's no drink. There's nothing.
Yeah.
So what does it mean, a Suda? What it means is that you're going to be nehenem mizif hashchina. It's a spiritual Suda of some sort. The Ravid argues, it's what are you talking about? If it's only a spiritual Suda, so why is there a whole discussion about kosher bracha then? Kosher bracha is talking about a real live thing. There's no kosher bracha after a Suda of the Ziv Ashkina. So the Ravid says, really. Right, exactly. He says, Tchias Amesim, that's what it's in reference to. So they're arguing about not what goes on, according to Kesem Mishnah at least, they're not arguing about what's Olam Haba, what's Tchias Amesim. They both agree. The only question is, when is the Suda taking place?
Right.
Ravid thinks it takes place Tchias Amesim, where we still have a guf and to eat and to drink. And the Rambam says, no, it takes place after that point, whatever Olam Haba means, when there are no bodies left. So now the pre-tzaddik asks, so according to the Rambam, who says that this takes place, the Suda takes place in Olam Haba, and it's only a Hanen of Mizim Ashkina, so what does it mean? What's the Rambam's question is, how do you have a kosher bracha? What's a kosher bracha if it's not a real food? You don't really see a pre-tzaddik weighing in on a machlokas Rambam Ravid. You see Rambam Ravid is like more of a lamdish machlokas. The pre-tzaddik weighs in and he says that no, what it means is they're going to have a kosher bracha. It's referring to the sodos, the amuk sod, the depth, the deep secrets that yayin, of course, nichnas yayin, yatsa sod, yayin represents secrets. The sod, that's what it refers to, all on a spiritual level. That's how he explains the Rambam. Now, in terms of the discussion of Yaakov marrying two sisters, so there's a large discussion, how is Yaakov able to marry two sisters? And once you explain how he's able to marry two sisters, so then why couldn't he say the bracha? So what was the heter? Why was he allowed to marry two sisters? So a number of answers are given, just to mention a few of them. Ramban writes that... Exactly. That's Ramban l'shita. So all over, everything Eretz Yisrael is about Eretz Yisrael. There's no mitzvahs outside Eretz Yisrael. So when he married them, it was outside Eretz Yisrael. And when he entered in, they were already married. He didn't have to separate from them. Then the Chizkuni says that the sisters were sisters only min ha'av. They shared the father, but had different mothers. When it comes to the goyim, we don't follow the father; we follow the mother. They had different mothers, they weren't considered sisters. That's how the Cheskuni explains it. And the Das Kanim says that the Avos knew the Torah mi Ruach HaKodesh, but they were able to decide what they wanted to keep, what they didn't want to keep. They weren't commanded to do it. So Yaakov decided that for this one, he didn't want to keep this particular mitzvah. Right. He didn't have to. It was only
but through Ruach. There's nothing from the Torah that he did anything wrong.
That he didn't. Right, the Torah itself doesn't. According,
like, there's not even like the minimum, like.
Right, everyone agrees. All these say nothing, at least at this point, we'll say in a second. But it was all completely mutter. Either it's chutz la'aretz or they weren't sisters,
right,
really.
Right, because it's not that, there's not like even the hint that there was something wrong with what he did.
But this Gemara sounds like something's wrong.
Right.
So Das Kanim says, so if what he did was completely okay, according to Das Kanim's answer, which was that he decided not to do it, he didn't have to keep the Torah for this particular mitzvah, says still nonetheless, it was a ktsas, oh, it wasn't so good, since in the future, Klai Yisrael is going to be usher in this particular din, so it's not so appropriate that he says the bracha. Lamaisa, he didn't do anything wrong, but it was still a ganai of some sort for him to say such a bracha. Now, the Kaftor of Ferach has a very interesting point, a diak he makes here from the Gemara. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can say the bracha, because Shelo Zachisi Likanes La'aretz Yisrael Lo B'chayv Lo B'mosi. I think it wasn't Zohar.
Sorry, what I don't understand is, according to the Mandamar that says that it was Chutz La'aretz, is it trying to say, listen, he knew the halacha, and he knew, so what did he go, he knew that something was going to go wrong when he entered the Eretz Yisrael?
No, because I guess the Isser is only to marry them.
Once you're married, it should be okay.
Once you're married, I guess, then you've already been grandfathered in.
Uh-huh.
I assume that's how the Ramban would explain it. So, now when Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can't say the bracha because Shelo Zachisi Likarnish L'Eretz Yisrael, I was in Zoche, Lo B'chayv, Lo B'mosi, not in my lifetime, not after I died. So, Kafta Rafarach says, we see here there's an Inyan, even after the death, to be in Eretz Yisrael. There's a Zachus to be in Eretz Yisrael, to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Otherwise, why is he saying, Lo B'chayv, Lo B'mosi? Must be there's an element of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. Again, there are a number of other sources for this also, more explicit, but this is just an interesting diak in this response of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, let's go to this next mission now.
We also see that there's, even though there by tefillah, we say that there's a need to be misarev to turn away the kibud of honoring of
davening, right.
Three times.
By Kriya, right. By Kriya Satorah, say that it's the opposite, that the person has to run up to, otherwise, Mekatsrin Yama.
But if they give you a bracha?
If you're called from Aliyah, it's
Aliyah. Okay.
But you see, by leading Kos Bechasamazon, in the Chara, it has a din like tefillah, that you could be Misarev. Because otherwise, how could they be seen?
Very interesting point. I guess the question is, who is the one giving out the Kos Bracha? Who do you think? Let's say Kadosh Baruch. So Kadosh Baruch, so the Gemara says in Tefillah, if an Adam Gadol asks you, you can't be Messiah of an Adam Gadol.
Right.
So then if you're saying this is a God that's really teaching us a certain halacha, so then that means even Kadosh Baruch, you can be Messiah against an Adam Gadol. So, okay, I don't know.
But this is saying it lignite all the others, or what?
The fact that
Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Yeshua, you know, they're all denied. Is that lignai? Is it trying to tell us that they did wrong? Or is there some kind of a message?
You couldn't say Avram did anything wrong. Ishmael was born, and you can't always blame, you know, a father for Esav. You can't always blame them. So I'm not sure if it's anything bad. Just the fact that they weren't completely tamim.
Is it saying that they did the right thing by denying? Or because?
Oh, that's what you said, by denying. Yeah. Oh. Unclear. I think that Rabbeinu Bechai, one of his svarim, you know, where did I see this? Does he have kiss for Rabbeinu Chanai? I saw this somewhere. I'm not forgetting where I saw this. So I think he has a whole chapter, and this is the Ramban, the kiss for Ramban. But I think Rabbeinu Chanai has a whole chapter about the Suda, the Asalavo, this Suda. There's a whole, maybe even a whole sefer on this, what the nature of the Suda is going to be by. And part of the Suda you're supposed to eat, the Orl of Yasan, like the Yasan was killed, and the skin left over for this Suda. So there's a large discussion. So I wonder if Rabbeinu Chai discusses all these different inyanim. Yeah. I can't remember where I saw this, though.
Right.
Okay. So the Mishnah says, Eim aftirin achar Pesach avikomim. So the Gemara is going to explain what exactly this means, but niftar maftir means like to exit. You don't leave from a friend. You don't go out after you've eaten the afikomen, the Pesach. After the Pesach, you can't go out. What does that mean? The Gemara says, "My afikomen, Amarav shlo yaku mechabur lechaburo." After you've finished eating your Karban Pesach, you can't go to another chabura. Okay. And then Shmuel Amar Kigon Ordili leave, it goes Lila Laba, like, no, it can't mean you can't eat anything else. You can't have any of these sweets. For me, his sweets are was Ordilai. I'm not sure Ordilai are. We don't have the English articles today. And for Gozlini Laba, my father enjoyed Gozali, other types of things. Gozalos, like little small birds. And Rav Chanina Bar Shila, Rav Yochanan Kigon Tamarim, Klaios Vegozim, different nuts and dates, that was their dessert.
So he's, why the Rashbam says it's common in Petrios.
Okay, fine. So mushrooms and stuff.
Kegon, yeah, kehon, kemahin upitriot, yeah.
Okay, and then.
I mean that you shouldn't have that stuff after the Pesach.
Right, exactly. Don't eat anything else after the Pesach. And then the Gemara says Tanik of Asa de Yochanan. There's a brisa that supports the second opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. That ein maftir nachar Pesach kegon tamarim klayos vegozim. Don't have any of these sweets. Any of the desserts after you finish the Pesach. So either means don't go from your chabura to another chabura, or it means don't eat anything else, you have to leave the taste in your mouth. So there's a big discussion, what's the reason why you have to leave the taste in your mouth? So the Rashbam says here, so you see the Rashbam could go in Ordilai, leave, it goes to the Abba. If you go down there, the three lines down that Shlo Yavar Mimenu Talan Pesach. So you should the last thing you eat is Pesach, so you shouldn't lose the taste. Lefisha Dinu Lechol Besof Al Sova. You're supposed to eat the Karban Pesach is supposed to be the last thing that's supposed to fill you up. Vechein Kol Har Kabanos. All the Kabanos are that way also. Dechsev Lemish Lemashchal Gdula Kederach Shem Lachem Oklin. The way a king eats his meal. So the thing is that make sure this is your last thing. Because if it's not your last thing, and you're eating more afterwards, then therefore you're basically not eating alasova. How do you know whether it's alasova? If this is the last thing you eat, it must be that is what filled you up. That's how Rashbam says. Now there are a number of other reasons given as well. But Amor says no. The concern is as follows. The custom was, we already saw this a number of, maybe a couple months ago, that they used to say challah down here, then they go upstairs to the rooftops to say challah afterwards. So there's a very common practice to go to somewhere else to say challah. The concern was, if you go somewhere else, you might eat somewhere else as well, and you're not allowed to eat in two different places. So by you leaving the taste of your mouth, taste of Pesach in your mouth, that's going to serve as a constant reminder that only eat the Pesach that you just finished eating, don't eat anywhere else. That's how the Baal Mor explains this. The Ravid says, according to that, by the way, they point out, the Achronim point out, that after you've said halal, though, then you can eat. Because you already said halal. Does that make sense? No, you can still eat somewhere else. Okay, I'm not sure about that. The Ravid says, the concern is that if you drink afterwards, his concern is about drinking. So you're eating your Karban Pesach, and then you take a drink afterwards. You might want to continue drinking. What's going to happen is you're going to drink a lot and get full from the drink, and not end up finishing the Karban Pesach. Your Karban Pesach is going to end up being nosar. We don't want anything to be left over as nosar. So he says to not drink anything after the Pesach.
I understand, but this is always talking after the Pesach.
Let's say you ate, once you started eating Pesach, you can't eat anything else. Not lav daf when you finish, but once you started the Karban Pesach, nothing else could be eaten or drink.
When you started already.
Right. Okay. The Kobo says, very interesting, halacha.
So if you were thirsty, that's it?
That was it, yeah.
Whoa. That's tough.
Drink a lot beforehand.
I guess they make it too salty, I guess.
Right. All right. The Kolbo says, because as we said before, that matzah is lechem oni, she'oni
malav
dvar. Dvar harbe, you're supposed to say a lot of things over the lechem oni, such as halal. So you're supposed to say halal over the matzah and over the Pesach. All these things are supposed to be interconnected. So when saying halal afterwards, you're supposed to be connected to the Karban Pesach. By having the flavor left in your mouth, that's saying halal with the Karban Pesach in your mouth, really connecting, fusing the two together. Okay, fine. So there are a number of other reasons.
The Avnei Nezer say that, because this is the whole episode behind his tonight, he says that according to the Mandomer that Chatzos, this is Man, you have to have the tam at that moment at Chatzos in your mouth, and according to the Mandomer, it's until the next day, or Chki or whatever, till the Nates, then you have to have the tam at that moment. At the moment, I don't know what the svar behind it is, but
right, he does discuss this. I don't remember being at the moment or not. I don't remember the tshuva.
Because that's why he says that you should wait until after. You should make a tanai when you eat it.
Then wait after chatos, then you can
wait until after chatos and then eat again, because like the key point in time is that moment.
That moment.
The time should be.
I don't remember, but I remember the tshuva about this tonight. I don't remember the svar for it. And the Ramban says, the Ramban against Avnei Nezer says that you only need the tam up until chatzos. Avnei Nezer has this whole tonight that no, according to depending which shema number you go according to, you might need it up until chatzos, you might need it up until alos. Okay, says the Gemara now. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, ein maftir nachar matzah afikomen. So we spoke up until now about the Pesach. He comes to say, even after the matzah, which for us, the matzah is in place of the Pesach, even after the matzah, you can't eat anything else. Tanan, ein maftirin achar Pesach. Avi Komer, the Mishnah says, achar Pesach udilo about lachar matzah maftirin. It's a mashma from a Mishnah that only after the Pesach one may not eat. But you certainly can eat after the matzah, bizman hazeh. Answers the Gemara, lomi boy kamar, lomi boy achar matzah dilo nafish tamayo. Needless to say, after matzah, you certainly can't eat. Because there's no tam. Matzah, the flavor of the matzah is very weak. So anything you eat is going to ruin the tam, so that's pasha, you can't eat after the matzah. Aval, achar Pesach, the nafish tamayo, the nice piece of shawarma, has a lot of flavor. It's not going to be ruined by any other eating. You'll still have the taste. Little matzah yavure, it's not going to be able to be easily removed, the tam. Less limba, maybe you're not allowed, this halacha doesn't apply. Kamash Malan comes to teach me that no, even after the Pesach, which has a very strong flavor, one may not have any more to eat. Okay, I guess maybe we'll just stop here then.
Right.
Yeah.